Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And yes, he is coming back. Uchesu yabuya, Jesus is coming back. That is Muso Reshap. And yeah, we need to be ready. Are you ready? If he comes today, will you be ready? Will you be ready for his coming? I'm Sibongile Mofokeng, and this is Just For You, with you up until 11 o'clock, right here on the airwaves of 657 AM. Thanks to Janine and Umfeinand for a beautiful morning with them. And we are in the marketplace. Halala.
Ziabuya.
There you are. In the marketplace. Only. And I'm not alone, my family. I'm with Prudence Muchumi, and we're talking about the gifts and talents that we have, hey, in the marketplace. But before we get to that, Ma, are we, hey, if you would come now, if Jesus would come back now, and he has given us these gifts, he has given us the talents, and he has set, he has told us to go out and spread the word and occupy till he comes. Hey, are we ready? Are we occupying?
Good morning, family. Yes, it's Prudence, the marketplace motivator, once again here with you at Radio Pulpit, and also everyone who's listening online. Most of you are in the marketplace. Sibongile, great question you were asking, because when we read Matthew 20, I'm a word girl. Matthew 20 says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. But now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace."
So the point, I remember we read that even last
exactly week. So we're going back and saying, will he find faith on the earth? Will he find us ready? And here it says they were idle. The master was for his vineyard, it means for his kingdom, and they were idle. So I don't know, because even the time when Jesus was here, the question is, when he comes back, will he find faith on the earth? So that is a very sobering question that we have there. And I think each and every one of us really has to ask ourselves that question. And that is really what, especially as marketplace people, because when we're in the church, we understand the preaching happens there. And then we talk to you about the marketplace, that we are not there to preach. We are more there for our lives to be read as epistles every day. Oh my goodness, Prudence, there's something different about her. Reading our lives, that is when we are ready, and that's when we are not idle in the marketplace. And that is where we are living a life of faith. And that means we are then ready. When Jesus comes, he will find us in faith.
Do we understand what it means to occupy till he comes?
I don't think we understand that, because we don't even understand the principles of the kingdom. We hear that we are translated from the kingdom of darkness. Then we stay here in the middle like the Israelites, out of Egypt, out of slavery, in the wilderness. Then we pitch our tents and we stay there. So we don't even enter the kingdom. There's a kingdom that must be entered. You don't get out of one kingdom and stay in the middle in the wilderness.
So,
and
there's no middle part.
A lot of believers are right there. Oh, they even say it. I'm going through a wilderness experience. Hey, I'm in the wilderness. They say all sorts of things, and it means they have not entered the kingdom. I've dropped the mic right there. You have not entered. You exited, but you have not entered. And we see, even with the Israelites, they could have stayed there, except God come in Deuteronomy 1 and say, you have dwelt around this mountain and in this wilderness long enough. Pack up your things, break camp, and advance.
But what makes us to do that? How do we get to that?
Comfort zone.
Oh, Lord, help us. And now,
lack of faith. Must I give more seats?
Yeah, I do.
Lack of consistency. Lack of faith. And you know, Jesus said a couple of things. He said this about people who were not in the kingdom. He talked about this. These were not Israelites. He's the centurion's faith. Oh, Jesus, no, you don't have to come to my house. You speak the word. And he said, Jesus marveled. Jesus marveled. He said, I've not seen such faith in all of Israel. The other Syrophoenician woman, also, she was there. She wanted She wanted healing. And Jesus said, this is for the children, is the children's bread. And she said, even as the dogs, we get the crumbs from the table. I'm here for healing, not for anything. Mm. I want healing. And Jesus also marveled at that, because people are pressing into the kingdom while the children of God are sitting idle in the marketplace.
Hmm. So it's time to change that with the gifts and talents that we have.
The gifts, the talents, the abilities that God has given to us. And that is what I want to talk to us about today before I make that great announcement of what is happening next at the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So today I want to talk about, are we good stewards of the gifts, the talents and the abilities that God has given to us? So family, we are going to sit there. I want you to sit there at your desk, in your office, driving in your car, wherever you are right now.
But now, how do we differentiate the abilities, the talents, and the gifts?
Mm. Do we have to, though?
We don't even have to.
Do we have to really say this one is a gift? No. Because you know why?
Because they're, we
gonna
put them in a box.
Yeah, they're going to get stuck there again. They're going to need more definitions and not doing anything until they know
the difference
between a gift, a talent, and an ability. That's why I'm not even going there. I know where you're going with that one. I'm not going there. God has given us gifts, talent, and abilities, and we have this amazing parable of the talents.
Okay.
The parable of the talents talks exactly about that. But just in terms of background, you know, God has made us stewards. And earlier you were asking the question about this, our stewardship and our ownership and this issue of occupying. We are not occupying, as I said, because we don't understand that we are in a kingdom. A kingdom has got a territory. This is South African. This is the nation. This is our borders, right? So where, if we as believers understood the issue of occupation, even our, when God gives you a house and you've got parameters down around the house, you will start to pray and say, nothing must enter the parameters of this house.
Mm.
Let the angel stand at the gates. Let nothing come past the door.
Mm.
But because we are also schooled to be renters, I've dropped another mic right there. We like to rent things. We don't have ownership of land. We put our houses on somebody's land. That is why we don't really understand the issue of having something and occupying that thing. Making sure nothing crosses the borders. Nobody comes and steals something from your property. That is why we are not occupying, because we don't even understand that. Hey, our gates are open. Somebody comes past here, just remove something and runs off. Your marriage, the devil comes in, starts to create a lot of
anything
discord,
has got
and he
power.
Starts sowing seeds. Yeesh. And he's running off. Then your children, the enemy comes in, he starts dealing with your children, he's entered your house. I said, if the enemy is, if your children starts misbehaving, the one thing to really be mindful of, you let him pass the gate. When he passed the gate, you let him, and then by the time he gets into the bedrooms of the children, do all sorts of things there behind the closed doors, then you are surprised. Because you were sleeping when he entered the gate.
The borders were opened.
That is it. When he entered the gate, you just were romancing him. Oh, these kids are just, I don't know, children of today. Children of today, yeah. That is the time when you, children of today. Tonight, I'm not sleeping. Midnight prayers tonight. Because I want to understand children of today. God has not changed. So it's about understanding how to occupy. It's understanding a kingdom and how it works. It's understanding you will possess the gates of your enemies, not your enemies will possess your gates, which is what our experience is at the moment.
So we're not watchdogs?
No, not at all. And that is even the major function of the prophets. That is the major function of the intercessors. Looking ahead, seeing this trouble coming in this nation. There is trouble coming in the economy. We are not watchdogs. We are announcing when the news has told us the rent is going down, this is happening in the marketplace, then we start announcing that same news. But if we are watchmen on the walls of our lives, of our businesses, of the kingdom, of the church, we would, long before the thing becomes a crisis, have known about it, stood in the gap, start making decrees, declarations, edicts, passing laws in the realm of the spirit.
Sure. You know, when I'm listening to you, I'm hearing determination and being intentional about it.
Absolutely. There is no way to occupy a place when you're not intentional.
You spoke last week about, I know we are on the abilities, the talents and the gifts. Last week we touched on when we are attacked in the marketplace spiritually, and you mentioned that it's the most spiritual
environment
ever. And what happened during the week, I think, or is it during the weekend, I saw somebody saying, you know why you're being attacked and you're losing the battle? It's because you're not determined. But the one who's attacking you never sleeps.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The Bible says he's roaring around like a
Roaming
around. Yeah, seeking whom he may devour.
So it means everybody cannot be devoured, but you, if you are one of those, that is why the enemy is doing all the things he's doing.
And she said, you know, she says I was a witch, and she says when they told me that I have to do something, if I had to fast for 60 days
thank you
as a Christian,
yes,
I would.
Thank you.
But you failed to even fast one day.
Of course not. Yes. No. We are absolutely playing games. Believers, we are playing games. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts, it says when Paul was going to travel, they wanted to restrict him, and 40 people came together and said, we shall not eat or drink anything
and
until
it's happening even
man.
Now.
Until we've destroyed this man, we shall not. And now go and stand on the pulpit on Sunday and say, family, we are now going to fast for the nation. 2 days, 3 days. No, you will not find even 40 people in that congregation who is going to agree that we are setting ourselves like flint. And this is what we are going to do, because we understand we represent a kingdom that is being attacked. We are representing a kingdom that must be established on the earth. We are representing a kingdom where we must dispossess darkness and bring God's light into this place. We don't understand. We are at war. You know, last year I did a lot of prayers, and the title of every time people came, one story, we are at war. Next week again, we are at war. The Bible tells us in Revelations, I think Revelations 12:7, it says there was war in heaven, and the enemy fought against the angels, and they had to fight and prevail. We are at war. It says, and war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world, was cast out to the earth. I've dropped the mic. And the angels were cast out with him. So they are here with us. So we are at war. We are totally at war. And the reason why we're having the experiences in the marketplace is because people do not understand that we are at war.
So there's no time for retreating. There's no time for breaks. There's no time.
No.
We are at war.
Do you see soldiers sleeping? All of them sleep. Guys, let's go to bed, all of us. No.
We were at the Rand Easter show, and we went to the site of the soldiers, the South African Defense Force. And they were showing us when they are going to attack an enemy, and they're still making surveillance around enemy's camp.
Thank you.
And so they have these small, I don't even know what to call it. They gave it a name, I forgot.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you sleep in there? And they got cameras in there, and they got guns in there. Yeah. And they said, no. We just rest in there. But you are resting whilst you're working.
That is it.
There's no time for sleeping when we are doing the surveillance.
There's another parable that Jesus was telling his disciples. He said a man went and sowed wheat in his field.
Yeah.
And then when they grew up, people said, hey, the tares now, what happened here? Jesus said to them, the enemy did this while men
slept. Sleeping.
So now what time for sleeping is it? When you are sleeping, your husband is praying. When your husband is sleeping, your children are praying. There must be men always to pray and not to faint.
When the Lord Jesus Christ also said, let them grow together. I'm like, oh Lord, do you know how tough it is when they grow together?
Yes.
But now it means we were not
because
supposed to sleep.
Because he understood your authority. He understood your authority is to overcome them. So it's not a problem. Let them grow together. Like that's why we said last week, the person can come in your office and start throwing salt, start throwing oils, waters and stuff like that. But Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. You go in that authority. Now, I said if you, but no, we don't go into that authority that Jesus gave us. We go with CVs, we go with work experience, tax clearance certificates in the marketplace. But we were told to go with the authority that he has given to us. When we put on Christ, we put on the uniform, we put on every weapon he has given to us, you cannot but win in the marketplace. But if you go with CV tax clearance certificate and company registration, you come out
honor,
crying.
You honor your own. You're
you are coming
own.
Out crying. I let me prophesy to you, you are coming out crying.
Oh, may the Lord really help us. Yes. And when it comes to the gifts and talents, some of us don't believe in who we are and what God has given unto us.
Yeah. So this is such an amazing teaching, because in 2018, the Lord said to me to go to the churches and teach about the gifts and the talents and abilities that God had given to all of us. And I'm like, Lord, but this is elementary teaching. I think the pastors have preached this by now. Like, you know, I want something more profound to teach.
And this is profound.
It is profound. So the Lord was telling me, so to go and teach that. So what am I saying to you today, saints of God? I'm saying to us, we should be good stewards of what we've been given. And I think a lot of the time we are concentrating on what we don't have in the marketplace. But I want us to concentrate on what we do have. You know, when we are children of the Most High God, in fact, we arrive on the earth with inbuilt gifts, talents, and abilities.
It means it's time to switch. It's a switching time.
And this is universal.
Yeah.
This is the wonderful thing, because I know some people would like to spiritualize this and say, no, they've not been given these gifts. No, you arrive on the earth with the gift. So let me say this. There are gifts of God in Romans 12. Mm-hmm. And these are the gifts that you show up with. People just see this child is good musically.
Yes.
This one is good in sports. This yes. one is good with this and that. So God has given you built in, like Psalm 139 talks about, before I was formed in my mother's womb, before I arrived here on the earth, God had woven me together, put certain things in me, certain abilities in me. So you show up here with those abilities. So we want you to now to look at yourself and say, yeah, I'm a person who's generally good with people. Before you've gone to university like we have, trained in HR, trained in training and development, I just want you to look at your natural talents, gifts, and abilities. You know, because we can look at the world and people who are not yet saved, and they have talents, gifts, and abilities. So where did those talents, gifts, and abilities come from? They've come from God, and you are born with them. Now, it is our responsibility, and as parents and as individuals, to discover, first, to explore and discover what are your gifts. What are my talents? What things come naturally to me? What things, you know, I don't have to get paid for it. I don't have to spend energy on it. It just comes natural to me. There are people like that, hospitality. There are people, they can entertain people at their houses, cook for them, do all manner of things because God has given them the gift of hospitality. And so God wants us to discover those gifts. And when we discover those gifts are also a vehicle of provision that God has given to you to show up in the world with them. So when you discover them, why are some people, women are cooking, men are cooking in their houses? But how come there are millionaire chefs? Why are there celebrity chefs who are paid millions for cooking? It means they explored and discovered a gift. They kept on enhancing the gift. And today we are paying them for it. Whilst all of us are just cooking for free. Hey, by the way, I should be charging for my cooking from now on. I think I'm discovering another ability.
Amen to that.
Thank you very much. So
and
I'm
you
saying,
have to pay a tithe to Radio Pulpit because you discovered it here.
I discovered it here. Radio Pulpit, I'll be paying my tithe for
yes,
my cooking only. So what are we saying? We are saying it is important for us to discover those gifts, because that is why a lot of people also, Sibongile, I will tell you, in HR, they are dissatisfied in their jobs. They've studied accounting. They've studied this. And after they finish qualifying, even law, even this year, I've interviewed people who was like, the minute they qualify, they're like, I'm out of here. I just do not want to do this. So they check out because they don't understand that they have to discover their gifts before you start forcing yourself in this one field. And sometimes it happens with kids. They are maybe more creative and we want them more to be more academic, or they're more academic and then this family. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I know a family, and they're such a beautiful Christian family who are in soccer. Mm. So the father's in soccer, and the children have this natural talent, and they, you know, they grew up, and obviously they were in the soccer camps that the dad was doing. And today you just look and you're thinking, right there, because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's a God of the generations. Mm. So when you even look in your family, you will sometimes discover there's something that comes down the family.
Mm.
This family is musical. This family is artistic. Mm. This family is this. So when you get to know that, that is why some of those families, we see them on the global stages, because they explore the gift, they discover the gift, they develop the gift, and today it's giving glory to God all over the world. So it is for every single person under the sound of my voice today. God has given each one of us something to steward, and that thing will bring increase. And when we steward it well, God will give us more responsibility. He said, if you are faithful with the little that I've given to you, much will be given to you. The parable of the talents.
Mm.
They were given 5 talents, and because he was faithful, it grew to 10 talents. It doubled it. The one who was given 2 talents, he doubled it to 10, to 4. And the one who was given 1 talent. Is the one who's asking, but did God really give me talent? Is the one who asked the definition. What is the definition of talent, gift, and abilities?
Can I hide?
Because they want to still park themselves and use all excuses. And I will talk to you about that, because sometimes I know where I hide. I know when God has told me, go to this nation. And then I'm like, oh my goodness, Lord, really? Am I going? And I've just realized that, you know, God has really worked with me. And I thank God for that, and how he works with all of us and encourages us. And that is why we must always be plugged into the gathering of the saints, because in the midst of that fellowship of the saints, we will also identify those gifts. We will encourage you in those gifts. When you are in those circles of people who tell you, no, I've tried that. It didn't work. I tried that. You will have other people of faith who says, I can see the thing on you.
Yeah.
I can see it so clearly. Go for it. I will even invest in it. I will connect you to someone who does it. We are ready for those who want to use their gifts, their talents, and their abilities to give glory to God in the marketplace. That is one of the tools of your promotion. I've dropped the mother mic there.
Eish.
I'm praying for promotion.
Amen.
Discover, explore your gift, develop it, and the promotion will automatically come your way.
It will follow you.
It will run after you. That is it.
I think also some people are stuck, Ma, because mom said, and mom was in the same field or in the same gift, was holding the same gift ability. And they say, there's no money in that. How we go?
Yes. And we see that with artists. I think we all have seen the news and see how artists really good, and then all of a sudden they get a bad manager. I'm dropping the mic right there. It's not about the gift. It's not about the ability. It's about the management behind it.
Okay.
And that is it. Is that person also a believer who understands how God has crafted you?
And sometimes it's about you who's managing yourself.
Thank you very much.
With whatever gift that God has given unto you.
Thank you very much.
So you find that you fail.
Yes. Okay. But even coming back to the one of the manager, even if we look at very rich people like Michael Jackson, talented to the hills, and then they die and people start saying they didn't have a lot of money because of how they were being managed. Oh my goodness. Something's falling on me right now. The anointing is coming there. Our topic is, are we good stewards? That management is about stewardship. So as Sibongile said, it could be you stewarding what God has given to you, or the people that are around you that you've entrusted to steward what God has given to you. They can either take you forward, or they can slow you down, or they can completely and totally discourage you. Listen to me, child of God. You do not have to get permission from anybody else to do what God, the talents, the gifts, and abilities that God has given to you. Get up in the morning, sew the dress. Get up in the morning, cook the food. Get up in the morning, do the creative arts. Paint the painting. Do the HR job. Be good with people. Do hospitality. Get on with doing it. The naysayers that are looking at us and saying it's never going to work, silence them with when people give glory to God. Once you've done the thing, you've sewn the dress, the person is wearing it, everybody is complimenting them, then they can make their comments then. So don't let people stop you. I, as a female preacher, people say a lot of things to me. If I listen to them, and some of them are in the church, I'm dropping another mic right there. I would not even be doing what I'm doing today. So I just decided I'm going to believe God, rise up to what He told me, He's called me to do. I'm doing it now, whether people believe it or they don't believe it. They come to me afterwards and say, this is the hand of God. Finished. But if I listen to them, I would never do what I'm doing today.
Sure. All right, let's take a break and then come back. My question when we come back is, why should we be then, when God has given us all of this, why should we be going to school for it afterwards?
Very good question.
I see you want to answer now.
Oh. No. I'm under authority here.
We are coming to break. Mahalia Bukenen reminding you that you're not alone, but the Lord fights your battles. He walks with you through and through.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith, and love on 657 AM.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, a companion for those who need encouragement. Listen to us on our app or visit radiopulpit.co.za.
No hassles, no frills. It's just sounds full of life on 657 AM.
Ah, the Lord Jesus Christ fights our battles. And that is Mahalia Bukenen this morning. Fight, you fight for me. And we are sitting on 16 minutes just before 10. And you're listening to Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. I'm Sibongile Mofokeng with you right here on Just For You with you up until 11 o'clock. I'm not alone. I am with the marketplace. I know, specialist doesn't get to it. The marketplace queen, she's Amen. In the house, the motivator. Amen. And we thank God for her in that space.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, we thank God for you in that space. I was saying this to her family. I'm like, she makes the Bible so simple. Like, okay, we would scratch our heads and ask questions. But when she speaks, you're like, yeah, but why didn't I see it that way?
To God be the glory.
So we are talking about the gifts and abilities and talents that we ought to be good stewards of, those that God has given unto us. Now, I ask the question, Ma, then if the Lord has given us all of this, I've seen people who are very good with acting. I've seen people, you were talking about those who are cooking, hospitality. I've seen people who are musicians. And when they stand there, even from when they were 3 years old, 2 years old, they could put up a note up there and things would happen. So why do we need to also take that to school?
So
when we can just run.
Yeah. So it's important because it is, you know, Jesus was with his disciples teaching them and he was with them 3.5 years. Mm. Now, Jesus could have just imparted one preaching, laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit comes on them and he keeps and asks them to run. Mm. But they had to sit under that teaching and that training again and again until they got it, until they got the revelation of what Jesus was saying. And we see that when Jesus comes one day and he said, who do you say I am? This is what men say I am. But who do you say? And then Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that. So now now you're starting to get it. Mm. Now you're starting to know who I really am. Mm. Now you're starting to know I'm not the son of Mary and Joseph with knowing my brothers and sisters in the natural. Mm. Now he understood that you are the Christ, mm. the Son of the living God. Mm. So why should we develop our gifts after we've been given? Because there's some training that goes into it. A teacher of the word does not just rock up, you know, in Ephesians 4, you get the Bible and then we are laying our hands on you. You are a teacher, you are a pastor, you are a prophet, you are an evangelist, an apostle, and off you go. No. It says study to show yourself approved, rightfully dividing what you've been given. Yeah. So we study the word. As apostles, we go and we understudy someone. Mm. Now, these days, people get ordained and tomorrow they're an apostle. They have never established a church.
I lead a song, and when the Holy Spirit comes down tomorrow, I open a church.
I'm scared already.
Yeah.
So this is what happens. Because, and when you see the person and how they are functioning, you can see where there was lack of training, lack of mentorship, and lack of submission. Mm. And then stewardship.
Stewardship is
exactly.
Not well
then
represented.
You now, exactly. So we want to make sure that, and that's what I said, you first explore the gift because you don't know what it is. Mm. Then in that exploration, as you are serving God, you discover this is the gift and other people also confirm the gift. Then you start developing that gift. And that is what we're saying. Even a pastor who's the people in the world that we know who are amazing generals in the kingdom of God, they will tell you the longest stories of how they sat under the pupilage, the discipleship, the mentorship of someone else.
Elijah,
and today
Elisha,
we're looking at them and we are like, what in the world?
Elijah, right. Elisha.
You've dropped the mic right there.
Then why is it so hard for us to sometimes identify those gifts and abilities?
Because there's many reasons, clearly, and there's many different variations of answers because our journeys are different. But I think it's because we do not submit ourselves to the training, to the teaching, to the submission, to the mentorship. That 3.5 years, you know, average.
But isn't some of us waiting for the supernatural as well?
No. But it came. Jesus took his disciples. Let's follow the disciples.
Okay.
3.5 years, Jesus trained them. Mm. Then he breathed on them in John 20 and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Mm. Then in Acts 1, he says, wait until you endowed. They'd receive the Holy Spirit. Mm. Now wait. They've received the Holy Spirit. Now wait until you are endowed with power from on high. Then you will be my witnesses. Then you will take that gift, that talent, that ability into the world to be a witness for me, a credible witness. Mm. When you do it credibly, we are not questioning, but this type of preaching, this type of teaching, this type of prophetic gift, where is it? Where's the scripture behind it? We don't ask that because there was a journey of being trained, of submission, of being corrected, of being rebuked, of being submitted, and then you are released.
Mm.
But we don't have time for that these days. Mm. If Jesus spent 3.5 years with people, I don't know that I myself can spend any less time with people.
I hear it even when you're talking about this. I'm hearing it in the family as well.
Mm-hmm.
That a father and a mother need to disciple their own children.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We, all of us, you know, God made this design of family. He is the one who made us to be born into families. So it means there's a training. And I always look at Jesus and I say, Adam and Eve were made, created, and they were grown people.
Mm.
But Jesus was born as a child, right? And there was some training, some things he went through up until he stepped into ministry at the age of 30 and then left the earth at 33. So we know there is a process.
Right.
So if you do not want to submit yourself to process, you will find yourself at the end when the test comes, when the big promotion comes. That is why we see people when we make the biggest mistakes in full view of the whole world because we did not want to be trained when there was 10 disciples, when we were in one church. Now, global stages, we're standing on them preaching things that are not of the word because we did not submit ourselves to training. let me say this one thing today.
Even mishandling some of the gifts that God has given unto us in the marketplace.
Start on that one, Sibongile, because that's a big one. But I will say to you, gift, it's not the big thing.
Mm.
It really comes down to that submission, because when the submission is in order, when we have submitted to that training, to that mentorship, then the gift itself, when it explodes, it will be beautiful.
Mm.
But people who do not want to submit to that process, we see them completely crash and burn a lot of the time, because God himself has put that process in place. And it says you can't be greater than your master. If Jesus himself, he made himself of no reputation.
Mm.
He left all glory, came down here as a man. And then it says in humility, Jesus walked this path until he came to the cross. And even that cross was a submission to the will of God. So if we want to short circuit process and just have a gift and start running with a gift, you are going to find yourself one day at a place where you didn't intend to be. Because you did not follow the process.
And Trevor Tubari, not welcomed.
You see, so you are not a credible credible witness.
Mm.
Be my witnesses, not your own witnesses. Be my witnesses in your Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. So that is, if we follow that process, we will be his witness.
Now I asked this question to somebody, it was another pastor, about somebody who is called. And this is the question that most of the times people ask, that I'm doing so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So can I be, does it mean that I'm an apostle in my marketplace now?
No.
Because...
prophetic note to
because,
that one.
Because I'm touching all these offices. So if you're having so many gifts, ma. Mm-hmm.
And we do. We do, because you have the Holy Spirit in you with all his fruit and all his gifts.
Mm.
So when the Holy Spirit is in you, he's president and resident in you with all his fruit. He's one Holy Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. So it's all of that. So the gifts of the Spirit, the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, prophecy, tongues, interpretation, the Holy Spirit is resident with them.
Mm.
So when he allows you to exhibit those gifts, to demonstrate the gifts and the power, there is not time for us to boast about that. It's again time to be humble about it, to say, God is using me to bring glory to him. So these gifts by the Holy Spirit is what we demonstrate, because we don't have our own abilities. So, so I know that teaching is going around where people are saying that in the fivefold offices.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not commenting on that at all. I will comment on what I see and what I see in the word, that some are called. So Ephesians 4 says, some are called to be prophets, some apostles, some pastors, teachers, and evangelists. It says some. And then it goes to the end of the 1 Corinthians 12, and it says, are all apostles, are all? No. The answer clearly is no. But then it says, but desire the gifts.
Mm.
So let me just quickly, in terms of closing around the scriptures, because I want to leave you with the scriptures. So the gifts, where are the gifts of God? The gifts of God in the Bible are in Romans 12.
Mm.
And the gifts of Jesus, head of the church, who gave these gifts for the body of Christ, is in Ephesians 4.
Mm.
And the gifts of the Holy Spirit are put out in 1 Corinthians 12. So first place to start whenever I am counseling people on the gifts is to go to these three passages of scripture and really go precept upon precept, line upon line. And as we see these gifts, then we can see what gift do I have, discover that gift, and then you can see how do I then develop that gift and take it to the body of Christ, take it to the house of God, and take it to the marketplace.
Differentiate the two gifts of the Lord, Holy Spirit, and...
Okay, so the gifts of God are the ones that I say are mostly inherent. They are the gifts that we show up with on the earth. You have a leaning towards something particular, right? So as I said, a person, for example, is she's got a gift of leadership here in 1 Corinthians 12, because it will talk about... let me quickly read that here. It talks about grace. It talks about... it talks about prophecy. It talks about leadership. It talks about ministering. It talks about hospitality, giving, exhortation, and it says showing mercy. All these gifts are the ones that we are born in. You are wired that way.
Mm.
Then when we go to Ephesians 4, those are the gifts of Jesus that he gave to the church.
Mm.
It says some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, pastors, and teachers.
Mm.
So those are the ones that we call offices. There is still some deeper teaching to go into that because Jesus said there are gifts. So when people then say it's an office, that means it tells us your function in the body of Christ.
Mm.
So that is very important, because if we look at the body of Christ today and we say it's not the way it's supposed to be,
mm.
then it means we are not functioning where Jesus has called us, who's head of the church. Jesus calls you as a prophet. Now, no, I want to be a teacher. Jesus calls you as an evangelist. No, I want to be a prophet. It's just all of that. So you function out of line with the anointing and where Jesus has called you and the abilities that he has given to you.
Okay.
And imagine that.
I know, Ma, you're running. Mm. But I remember talking to someone who said, in all that you do, if you have been called into an office of a teacher,
mm-hmm.
you will find that you exhibit that in all areas of your life.
Absolutely.
Okay.
They're 100% right. So what, and that is when you discover it. So you'll realize, I like to sit and train people. I like to teach people.
Mm.
So that is a gift that you can, I would always encourage you to first do it in the house of God.
Mm.
So show up, because you've been given a free gift. Show up in the house of God, Pastor, as I teach the kids, as I teach the parents, as I teach the mothers, whatever you teach. Then you will start to go and study, because it's a natural leaning for you.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll start to teach, go for training,
mm-hmm.
Qualifications, and then you go to work and you start to train. You are a facilitator, a trainer, a teacher. You are a lecturer. You are a professor. You are it will come out in all.
Mm-hmm.
And how you show up in your world every day,
mm-hmm.
you're always that mm-hmm. one
you want to explain.
Exactly. Let's define this thing. What is exactly this?
Yes.
So God will give you that. So the world will pay you for that. But God has given it to you as a gift. So when you discover it,
yeah.
you start knowing what is in your toolbox that you can take to the world, and they will pay you. But some of us want to be paid in the house of God for the gift that we were freely given.
Oh, my.
I must drop that mic right there.
Eish. When it comes to the house of the Lord, we give freely. And the Lord will give outside where he will feed us from.
Absolutely.
When we outside. So somebody might say, okay, you're talking about a teacher. So if I'm called and given the cooking gift, then kiwe lakain.
Hospitality. Mm. So that's Romans. Romans 12.
Yeah.
Says those who have been given the gift of hospitality.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, Ma, you always challenge us and family. I see
I'm giving.
We are like, oh,
yeah.
Okay, let me check myself. Tell us what's happening. I want you to continue, but honestly, tell us what's happening in the marketplace very soon.
Oh, my goodness. I want to give a shout out to all the IMS partners that are listening. All the IMS people that are on the line, thank you so much for the encouragement. They're sending me messages here on my phone.
Yeah. La ropa, man.
They've got my juices flowing. So shout out to all of them. Pastor Samson, shout out to him too, who is listening. So on the 29th of June, Radio Pulpit family, on the 29th of June, we're having our Marketplace Champions Conference. Did you hear champions in the marketplace?
Okay.
And the theme is again about stewarding kingdom wealth, because God wants you to advance in your marketplace. So we will have some dynamic speakers again, ministers in the marketplace, ministers in the gospel, in the word of Jesus Christ. So you're going to get the best of both.
How many days?
It's going to be a one day one again.
Ay, Mara, Mom.
It's going to be another one day. You see, we come dynamite one day. Pastor Samson is going to be there again, who was at our business empowerment seminar.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the host, yours truly. I will always be there, hosting you and really pushing us forward, praying into this Marketplace Champions Conference on the 29th of June.
Hmm.
And we also have Pastor Ndibu. She's also going to be with us. So we're excited. She's just accepted to be one of our speakers. But there's more coming. There is more coming from the Marketplace. There's always more. But I also want to encourage people to join us on Tuesday evenings at 7 p.m. Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. online. And that is, you know, when you walk with someone, you can't just get it here in the Marketplace or on the radio once a week.
And then
you
are
must
okay.
plug in. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you must know, how am I going to win in my marketplace?
Because you live in that space
every day.
More hours you spend in that space.
Exactly. Yeah. And we say we want to equip and empower you. So by the time you come to the conference, you are bouncing off the walls.
Mm.
You are bouncing off the walls. So 7 p.m. Tuesdays and Wednesdays on Zoom. You will get the details on our Facebook, on our Instagram, on our Facebook, Instagram, and on our, yes, we also have a URL on our database, and we will put all those details out for you. And you can join us. Please do join us in the evenings, because those sessions are power-packed. And we also have guest speakers in those Tuesday sessions. So come and see, come and attend some of these marketplace sessions and hear more as we are going towards that 29 June Marketplace Champions Conference.
And Umar is talking about the International Marketplace Summit.
Yes.
On social media platforms. Go there. You'll find their numbers. You'll find everything. You can ask questions right there and get clarity. It's the International Marketplace Summit. Ma, do we have, or we will only have WhatsApp number later on as we're getting closer to the 29th?
You always have the WhatsApp number. It's plus...
plus 27.
Yes. I'm in South Africa. 63-361-4417 063-361-4417 That is our WhatsApp line. Anytime you need any information, please do get us there. But all our social media platforms, as we said, LinkedIn, Facebook, and
Instagram.
Yeah, it's International Marketplace Summit, and then Instagram is marketplacesummit.online.
All right, and the numbers are again 063-361-4417 063-361-4417 Aye, we can't be losing in the marketplace. Training Eric Riangmo.
Winning all the way.
Thank you so much, Ma.
Thank you so much for having me again.
And make sure you do not lose tonight's gathering on Zoom. 063-361-4417
Sitshele ukuthi ucabangani. Sicela ukuzwa uvo lwakho. Ungasithinta ku gospel@radiopulpit.co.za noma usithumele iWhatsApp ku 082-657-2729. Radio Pulpit, umngani wakho wemihla ngemihla.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.